sarvatadantaratnadya sarvaloke kadrikpada sarva bhagavata prana shrimad bhagavatam prabho kali dvanto ditaditya shri krishna parivartata paramananda pataya prema varshakshadayate sarvata sarvasevyaya shri krishnaya namosute madhigabandho matsangin madhgurura madhmahadana madhnistaraka madhbhagya madhananda namostute asadu sadu dadhaya nadine chuchataraka hanamunchakadachanamam premna vritkantaya spura om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. June 17, 2011 in Radha Desh, Radha Gopinath Temple. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 2, Verse Number 3, The Activities of Maharaj Agnidra. Tal Ubdyalagya Bhagavan Adi Purusha Sarashi Gayantim Puravichin Namapsaram Abhya Payam Asha. Synonyms. Tat that, upalabhya, understanding, Bhagavan, the most powerful, Adi Purusha, the first created being within this universe, Sadashi, in his assembly, Gayantim, dancing girl, Purvachitam, Purvachiti, Nama, named, Apsaram, the heavenly dancing girl, Abhyapayam, Asa, sent down. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Understanding King Agnidra's desire. The first and most powerful created being of this universe, Lord Brahma, selected the best of the dancing girls in his assembly, whose name was Purvachiti, and sent her to the king. Purport. In this verse, the words Bhagavan Adi Purushaha are significant. Bhagavan Adi Purushaha is Lord Krishna. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Lord Krishna is his original person. And Bhagavad Gita is also addressed by Arjuna as Purusham Adyam, the original person. And he's called Bhagavan. In this verse, however, we see that Lord Brahma is described as Bhagavan Adi Purushaha. The reason he is called Bhagavan is that he fully represents the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is the firstborn creature in this universe. Lord Brahma can understand Maharaja Agnidra's desire because he is as powerful as Lord Vishnu. As Lord Vishnu is situated as Paramatma, can understand the desire of the living entity, so Lord Brahma can also understand the living entity's desire for Vishnu, as a via medium, informs him. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Verse 1, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye, Lord Vishnu informs Lord Brahma of everything from within the heart, because Maharaja Agnidra specifically worshipped Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma was pleased, and he sent Purvachiti, the Apsara, to satisfy him. End of the purport. Vrindavane Ramanareti Prasittabhomo Tatra Vikrishna Balarama Supadamu Le Krishnanam Paramparamai Krishna Sudharma Chuktam Tandrasta Deva Prabhupada Namo Namaste Sangasara Dukkha Jalado Padita Siyakama Krodadi Nakramakarai Kavali Kritasya Duravashana Nigadita Sinarasrayasya Chaitanya Chandra Mama Dehe Padavalam Bam Jaladara Shashivarno Gopavisha Kishoro Sahachara Ganavrindai Kridamana Vrajesho Tatabada Jitavesho Nilapitam Baradyo Chagada Janana He To Ramakrishna Nato Asmi Vanchakalpa Drubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vivacha Pritanam Pavane Bhyo Vishnave Bhyo Namo Nama Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Talupya Labhya Bhagavan Adi Purusha Sadasi Gayantim Purvachitim Nama Apsarasam Abhyapayasam also. Understanding King Agnidra's desire, the first and foremost powerful created being in this universe, Lord Brahma, selected the best of dancing girls in his assembly, whose name was Purvachiti, and sent her to the king. There's a neat story in Mahabharata. Whether it is Mahabharata or Ramayana, there's a story and a story and a story within a story. And you can get a lot for your education and entertainment, both. So, the desire for the opposite sex, Pungsam Striya Maituni Bhava Maitam, is the main entanglement within this material world. It is the binding force of this material world. Yet, it is also a necessity of the material world. So, understanding this, Maharaj Agnidra's desire, that he needed a wife, he's a king, kings need wives, they need heirs. So Brahma, understanding everything through Krishna within the heart, sent Purvachiti. Now, once there was a boy from South Africa who wrote me a letter. You know, the typical things that young boys write, you know. The girls are blowing his mind, you know, and what to do, you know. So I was thinking, what am I supposed to write this person? So I look at my deity and I said, what should I write this person? And he came in the heart and said, look at this particular volume of Mahabharata. And I had only read the first, end to end. I didn't touch that one. That was like almost the end. It was Raj Anushasana Parva. One-third, one-fourth of the Mahabharata is Raj Anushasana Parva. How kings do following the government. The Parva, the book of following the government of kings. So basically, Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking questions to Bhishma. First of all, Bhishma is lying on the bed of arrows, and he's in intense pain. And he's preparing for his death. So Krishna told, when the battle of Kurukshetra was wrapping up, and Krishna wanted Bhishma Dev to instruct Yudhishthira Maharaj on the duties of a king, Bhishma Pitamaha said, there is not 2 fingers space where there is not 1 arrow of Arjuna. And my body is racked with pain. I'm preparing myself to leave my body. My mind is disjointed. How can I do that? I cannot instruct him now. Better you do it. He told Krishna, better you do it. Then Krishna said, take this benediction, Bhishma. As long as you will speak, you will not have the pain of the arrows. And as long as you will speak, all the words of the Vedas will be with you in your mouth. So, Bhishma Dev agreed to do the service. So he was staying on his deathbed, waiting until the Uttarayana, until the sun reaches the northern hemisphere, when he would leave his body. Before that, this conversation took place. So, I stumbled on it. I followed my deity's order. Yeah. I just went up and I picked up the book and I opened it up. Right to the page. 16 pages of statements. And Raj Anushasana Parva. Yudhishthira's question was, if in this age of Kali, in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, if women are the source of entanglement for men, why are the men running behind them? Then Bhishma says, in this connection, there's a samvad, a conversation between Narada Muni and Purvachiti, this same girl. Happens to be the same girl, exactly. She says, he said, I have a question for you. You got a question for me? Well, you know, if you think I'm qualified to answer the question, then shoot. You know? Sure. Tell me the nature of women. I'm not going to answer the question. Why? Because I'm a woman. I might be biased. You don't have to be scared. You just simply tell the truth. You want me to tell the truth? Please do. Narada Muni says. The next 2 pages is the most scathing, you know, scandals, revealing, you know, the inner nature of a woman's desire, whatever. whole story. One thing we'd mentioned that was really good was about the principle of that she can maintain the religious principles of her husband, which was good. Dharmapatni means the wife who maintains the religious principles of the husband. But the rest of it was pretty scathing. So first thing, when you look at it, you think, you know, like a feminist would think or whatever, you know, is Vyasadeva male chauvinistic X, you know, like that. But then again, you think, well, wait a minute. He's actually a brilliant journalist. What he did, he used a dancing girl like Purva Chitti, highly qualified, highly beautiful, highly talented, to speak about the nature of ladies. So you can beg to differ, because not everybody is, it's a general description, and there's always exceptions to the rule. So you can beg to differ if you choose, but basically you would privately beg to differ. You know, you're not going to say something because can you match her standard? Can you do what she can do? You know, her beauty, her accomplishment, her poise, her expertise, can you match that? No. So therefore you keep your mouth shut. Basically that's what it is. So I thought, look at Vyasadeva. He used a woman, highly talented, highly qualified, to describe the inner nature of a lady, to keep the ladies quiet, you know, and keep everybody quiet. So it was cool. So Purva Chitti describes the whole thing, you know, and I thought it was pretty good. Next thing was, the next chapter was Deva Sharman. It was a Karmakandic Brahmin. And so he had to go do some yajna. And he said, my wife, Ruchi, is sought after by Indra, and he's always trying to take his opportunity to seduce my wife. So my dear disciple Vipula, you protect my wife from the machinations of Indra. He thought, I'm a brahmachari. How am I supposed to protect Guru Patni? Jai Gornataya, Jai Radha Gopinath, Jai Divashaka, Jai Jagannath Baladi Subhadra, Jai Tosi Rani, Shalarangam. How am I supposed to protect Guru Patni? I'm a brahmachari. So, what he did is he sat across the room from his guru's wife, and he just took over all the bodily functions of that lady. She couldn't move a muscle. Like this. Indra, seeing his opportunity, came in, and he tried to say something sweet to her. She tried to rise up to greet him. She couldn't move a muscle. Then Indra started to speak to her sweet words, and she tried to speak from her mouth to greet him. She couldn't move her lips. Then Indra looked across the room and saw this brahmachari, and he thought, this fellow is controlling this lady. That time Vipula entered back into his body, blasted Indra. Indra ran out, you know. And then his Guru Maharaj came shortly after and said, Guru Maharaj, here is your dear wife. We protected her according to your order. Okay? Then, Ruchi had a friend, a girlfriend, came to visit her. She had imperishable flowers in her hair that did not fade. Where'd you get those? Well, I was walking in the forest coming here, and some apsaras were walking along, and flowers fell out of their hair into the grass, and I collected a few. Gee, is there any more there? Yep. The Tattvastha lakshana is, take what you need. Don't take it all, right? So, then immediately hearing this, wow, I would really like such a flower. Then, Deva Sharman goes, Vipula! Go get those flowers for my Ruchi. So Vipula went to the forest. Along the forest, he saw two guys stepping first. I step first! No, I step first! No, I step first! No, I step first! Then the other one pointed his finger and said, you're talking like that. You're going to meet the same end as the Dvija, the twice-born Vipula. So Vipula's like, what did I do? You know? Anyway, I've got to get the flowers, you know? So he's going along the way, and he's thinking, who are those guys? You know? You know? And he's going along. Then he saw six guys playing dice. You know, they're throwing a dice. It's my time! I won! No, it's my time, I won. 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 Because you're talking like that, you're going to meet the same end as the twice-born Vipula. What the heck did I do? This is the second time. What have I done wrong? Anyway, I got to get the flowers. So he went to the van, he got the flowers, and he came back. And David Sharman goes, Vipula, did you see anything extraordinary in the forest today? Guru Maharaj, I saw two men. And one was stepping first, and I said, who were they, Guru Maharaj? This was the night and the day. You cannot say who steps first. They see everything you do. And Guru Maharaj, I saw six men. They were playing dice, and they said, I step first. It's my time. 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 Who are they, Guru Maharaj? This was the ritus, the seasons, the six seasons. They all interlap, you know. They all interlap, and they witness everything they do. And Guru Maharaj, they all said that because they were talking like that, they were going to meet the same end as I. What have I done, Guru Maharaj? You have to consider what you've done wrong. Ah, I understand, Guru Maharaj. When you ordered me to serve you by protecting your wife, I was untruthful. I did not. When I gave your wife back to you, I didn't tell you how I did that service. Yes, my dear boy, now you can be liberated. 16 pages. Cool. My dear boy. Yes, my dear boy. Vatsa. Vatsa is child, calf, you know, like this. Yes, my dear boy, Vatsa, you can be liberated now. You know, you've understood the problem, you can be liberated. You know, like that. You know, so it was interesting. There are some different things. First of all, is one has to be truthful in his service. Second of all, Indra's a machiner. You know, he's a mover. He's the one who tries to seduce. His lusty desires are very strong. And women need protection from their husband. There's so many things you can get from the story, right? One has to be truthful in his service. One has to be open-minded in his service and describe to his devotees, to his superiors, exactly how he does his service. Until you become truthful, satyam, satyam eva jayate, truth will prevail. Until you do that, such a personality is not qualified for liberation. And the other message from the story is the imperishable flowers, which do not fade and do not rot like ordinary flowers, fell out of the hair of the Apsara girls on their way to somewhere. And so Ruchi's friend collected them, and some were still there. So collect what you need, not what you want, you know. And there's so many different things you can get from that. So when that boy came from South Africa to Vrindavan, then I invited him to my room and I showed him the chapter, and he went, well, it's just what I needed, you know. Naturally. Now the next thing, and it was the same girl, Purvachitti, same girl. Interesting story. So next thing is the Vishnu, Lord Brahma could understand Maharaj Agnitra's desire because he's powerful as Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is situated as Paramatma but can understand the desire of the living entity. So, like this. So, this is Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Surida Sarvabhutanam. I remember as a kid being amazed. I was walking home from a Wednesday night. See, I used to stay the whole weekend in the temple as a kid. And I would finish my homework in school in such a way that I would come home on a Friday, drop my books at home, go back, jump on the bus, two buses, go to the temple, stay all night Friday, all day Saturday, go out and hurry Nam Sankirtan with the boys, you know, like that, and on Sunday clean the temple, help with the Sunday feast, whatever it had to be done. And then on Monday morning after Mangal Arati, I would take a plate of Mahaprasadam from Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra, the deities of the time in Denver. And they have Radha Krishna now, but anyway, in Gornatai. But before then, it was only Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra. I would take their Mahaprasadam, take that other plate on the bus, go home, pick up my books, go to school. Wednesday, 2 days later, I would again go to the temple for the evening program and come back. So I was coming back on a Wednesday, and it was Purnima. It was the moonshine. Near Purnima, because it was a full moon, bathing the night. And on the railroad tracks, halfway home to my father's house, I was remembering the statement that the devotees were bantering about with great happiness. When I looked at it for the folio, I found it. It was March 25th of 1971 in a Bhagavad Gita lecture where Prabhupada had stated to the devotees that if you take one step towards Krishna, he'll take 10 steps towards you. And there was very unifying, you know, service attitude in the temple. And it was like astonishing. Because everybody in this world, we just tolerated each other's existence. You know, we got so many doshas, so many faults, you know, and not everybody loves you, you know, like this. So everybody's got a few loose screws, and some screws are looser than others, you know, right? That's the fact. You know, and not everybody loves you, you know, like this. So, I was thought, my God, that is astounding. Krishna would take 10 steps toward a jerk like me. Just a stupid American kid, 15-year-old kid, you know. What's your qualification? Whatever your parents gave you. Whatever your parents taught you. You know, kids don't have much qualification. God is going to take 10 steps toward a jerk like me? Whew, how comforting, how charming, how sweet, how pacifying. We have a friend, and he's in the heart, and he knows everything, and he sees everything. When Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, everything is matched. If he says something in Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, it's matched. One of the best names of Tulsi Rani that I liked was in the Tulsi Astatara Satanamavali, 108 names, where it says, Satya Sandei, anything that is spoken is truthfully done by her. If it is spoken in Shastra, she will uphold it. She will do it truthfully. Exactly. Krishna does that, so his spouse also does that. Truthful to the promise. Satya Sandhyaya means also truthful to the promise. You know, what is promised? So, Krishna is Paramatma. And so, he's a friend of everybody. And his friendship comes when he actually helps you out. Just like the socialist statement is that we have met the enemy, and the enemy is us. Our conditioned state. So, Krishna, within the heart of the devotee, helps the devotee from their conditioned nature to protect them. So like, for example, recently, I was on the 17th before I flew out to go, the next day I flew out to go to London. And I was flying out from Dallas or something like that, catching an early morning flight, 5 o'clock in the morning. My deity comes in my heart and tells you, you forgot in the room your computer adapter. I looked at my watch. It's 5 o'clock. Yeah, half an hour now. 15 minutes to the temple. Collect your stupid adapter, turn around, go back to the airport. Catch your flight and go back. Could do. So I turned around and I went back and I got my adapter and thought, look, this is your buddy. This is your friend, the supreme friend. He's telling you what you forgot, what you spaced out, you know? What kind of friend is that? He tells you what you spaced out. You know? Anything you spaced out. Stupid, you forgot this, you know? Sometimes they come in the heart you're traveling, you know, and they tell you, something weird's going to happen today. And then you start thinking, your surroundings, what could that possibly be? You know? You're not telling him something more. You know? Maybe you didn't beg enough or whatever. You know, like that. But actually, he's given you the brains of everything, so he'll probably come in the heart and help you figure it out. Gee, what would that special thing be? And the intelligence comes from Krishna. Purusham Nashu, the ability, you know, Buddhi, Buddhimatthamasmi, I'm the intelligence of the intelligent, you know, like that. So Krishna does everything, really. He helps you out in so many ways. Helps you figure it out. You know? And we are conditioned, so we're scared. Ah! What will happen next? What will happen next? And they come on their heart and they said, you're with us, what are you worried, huh? Yeah, devotees shouldn't worry. When we're with Krishna, when we're with Krishna, and if we remember the Supreme Lord, or we remember his Priya, Tulsi Rani, or like that, what do we have to worry about anything? What do we have to fear of anything? We have nothing to worry. We have nothing to fear. In Hindi, there's a saying, Dina Bandhu Dina Nath, Mere Jori Teri Hat. O Lord of the poor, my life is in your hands. When you have that bhava, then you can walk head up and just go forward. Bhagavad Gita mentions it very clearly in fifth chapter. Because fifth chapter is the second, third chapter is karma yoga, how to work for God. And fourth chapter is, karma sannyasta yoga. Renunciation, work with renunciation. Basically, the philosophical underpinnings. And, transcendental knowledge. And the fifth chapter is Karma Sannyasa Yoga. The Karma Sannyasa Yoga is the fifth chapter, which is working and renunciation. The synthesis of 3 and 4 together. The synthesis of 3 and 4 together is 5. You know that. So in 5:17 it says, Tad buddhayas tad atmanas tad nishtas tad parayanaha kachant yopunar avartam agyana nor dudakomasa. When one's mind, intelligence, faith, and refuge are fixed in the Supreme, you're cleansed of all misgivings and you proceed straight on the path of self-realization. So that's our business. Our business is in any ashram to have faith in Krishna and go forward. That's all. Don't look back. Just go forward. You know, and our confidence to go forward is if you're in Paramatma Samahita. This is chapter 6, verse 5. If you're actually thinking about Krishna, then Paramatma Samahita, you become as good. So Brahmaji and servants of Krishna, for their subordinates, hey Vatsa, you know, for their subordinates, are meant to be Paramatma Samahita. They're supposed to amplify and promote the Paramatma. You take shelter of the Paramatma. Of course, we are not as good as Paramatma to the extent that Paramatma helps us in the heart. One New York Times reporter asked Prabhupada, are you omniscient? Do you know everything? And he said, the spiritual master doesn't claim to know everything, but Krishna will tell him exactly whatever I need to know for my disciples' welfare. So, that's the thing. If you remain strict to the Vedas, strict to the point, then you become Paramatma Samahita. The Paramatma will use you as an agent of change and help. Because the business is to teach everybody to take shelter of them. To the extent you do that, you become Paramatma Samahita. You teach everybody to take shelter of the Paramatma. Take shelter of Krishna. Take shelter of the Supreme. Take shelter of his spouse, Tulsi Rani. Like that, for example. You teach people to take shelter of that. Then they'll utilize you for their service. That's fine. And like book distributors, Gornatai is the giver of mercy. And our business is to try to steal conditioned souls. So they pray, hey Gornatai, help us do that. And Gornatai is pleased with the desire, they'll help you do it, you know. And most far out stories, you know, which always are written down, you know, like when some devotees landed outside a theater, God, how are we going to steal conditioned souls in the theater, you know? And you know, they went on stage and they sold books to everybody, you know. One of my friends, he's in South Karnataka now. The temple president of Vrindavan now was his sidekick on Sankirtan. And they were doing strip Sankirtan once, you know. Blitzkrieg, you know, just hit some strips. And so they came back to the car, you know. And so what he did, our man, Om Tat Sat, thanks a lot, you know. Tattva Darshan Das. Om Tat Sat, thanks a lot, you know, we used to call him. Tattva Darshan Das. He went into a wake, a funeral parlor. And there was a lot of people surrounding some dead body, okay? And he was in a Santa Claus suit, right? And he goes up to the guy and goes, psst, what was the guy's name? His name was Joe. And so he gave a speech. Joe was very philanthropic, very selfless, you know. And, you know, Joe would really like it if everybody gave a donation to help out this and that, I guess. And the people looked at me and said, my God, this guy's really bold. He's doing it right in the middle of a wake, you know, like this. And the guy laughed and he pulled out his pocket and gave him a 20, you know, and took a book and everybody followed suit. And he went outside and he ran to Panchagoda, you know, who's also my godbrother, you know, like that. How'd you do? I only did a quarter. I bombed out. How'd you do? I did $400, you know. Half an hour he did like $400, you know. Bold as hell, you know. You know, stuff. So sometimes Gornatai helped the devotees. They became bold as hell, and they did amazing stuff, you know, that nobody would normally do. You know, people would just normally not do like that, you know. But you're trying to help people, so Gornatai helps you do it, you know. So it's the same thing. It doesn't matter what our service is. When you sing the glories of the person you're worshiping, those glories are non-different from them, and they purify their heart. They take over that devotee. They literally give them brains how to do everything. They give them intelligence how to serve them. Everything becomes warm and wonderful. So it's the same thing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Gopurdvaivaran section of Charanagati, accepting the Lord as maintainer, he says that the bhajan is like bhajan number 4. Dara putra nija deho kutumba palani. Dara is wife. Putra is child. Nija deho, my house. Kutumba palani, how will I protect my family? Ehasa chintamani mani. These things are always going in my mind all the time. Ebe atma samarpane chinta nahi ar. To me nirvahi prabhu samsara tumar. Now that I've surrendered unto you, I don't have any doubts any further. Surely you will protect your household life. If I have any affection, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, for my family, children, wife, etc., they belong to you. I am simply the holder of the keys to your flat. That's all. Very, very nice. The mood is to surrender everything, to give everything to Krishna. Everything is offered to Krishna. You're simply an agent of service. That's all. And everything is done for Krishna's pleasure. Then everything becomes amazing. You know? So our business as devotees is to do that. Huh? And so it's interesting. Maharaj Agnidra needed a wife. And so Brahma, whose worship was pleased, he sent his foremost of his dancing girls to do the job. And Maharaj Agnidra had gift of gab, so he satisfied the girl with flowery words, and she agreed to be his wife, and she had like 9 children from him. And then afterwards, of course, as anybody does when they're 50, 55, you know, they get fried, you know. And so she just went back to the heavenly planets, like this, you know, like this. And she went back to the heavenly planets, but his senses were not satisfied with her. She must have been highly qualified and highly amazing, like that. And so he always thought about his wife, and the end of it, he ended up leaving and going to her celestial planet where she resided. Whether that was with, if she was part of Brahma's dancing circle, one could surmise that she was a resident of Satyaloka. One could surmise that. I don't know enough about the architectural, universal architectural, to say it conclusively. One would surmise that if she was part of Brahma's dancing retinue, that she was also a resident of Satyaloka, and Maharaj Agnidra went there to be with his wife. Could do, could be, but wherever she was, he went there. So, in the beginning of the chapter, it's interesting that yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chacha jante kalevaram tam tam evaiti konteya sadatara bhava bhavita. Whatever you think of at the time of leaving your body, that state you attain without fail. There was a neat story. One of Radhanath Maharaj's disciples, her name was Sura Priyadasi. She developed leukemia. And as her leukemia progressed, she was getting pain. So she told her husband, Prabhu, I'm in such intense pain. Can I go to the temple? So in Pune temple, they had very, very less facility. They're building a new temple in Kataraj now. Huge. Should be open within a year. Pretty good. I saw it. Big place. But their present place is really small. Opposite the cantonment, the military cantonment. Duster Boys School, opposite Duster Boys School, like that, in a small military camp, small little place. Radhi Sham Das, the charge there, had 43 brahmacharis. So what he did, he had 3 rooms. So he took 43 brahmacharis, dropped them on their head, and merged them into two rooms, and left one room open for Surapriya. She had three children, two of them joined the temple. Well, me and my husband like Radhisham. You know, I was really hoping that I could be, my children would maintain me in my old age and like that, but anyway, you know, I have one son left anyway. Krishna stole two of my sons. What am I supposed to do? But then she developed cancer. And when she went to the temple, she thought her two sons, brahmacharis, served her better than anybody ever did. She thought, this is astounding. But why should I bother these? And the pain went away in the devotees' association. Why should I bother these poor brahmacharis? You know, for my sake. So she told her husband, let's go back to the flat. All right. Took her back to the flat. As soon as she got back to the flat, the pain came back. She realized, I really belong in the temple. The pain is just too much. Turned around and went back to the temple. Okay? And her two sons served her better than any mother could ever dream. You know, she was able to attend Mangalarti, Bhagavatam class, chant japa, like this. Serve whatever she could do in her capacity. And hear Harikatha from the mouths of her two children. Okay? Better than any mother could ever expect. So, as her body started to dwindle from the cancer, because cancer takes 6 months, roughly, to become finished, she said, in a Bhaktivedanta article which was published in English in India, I'm really thankful that Krishna came in the form of this cancer. I would have never given up becoming a Hindu housewife, you know, attached to my husband and business and money and children. And I would never have given these things up to become a devotee, to chant Hare Krishna, to read Bhagavatam. I would have never done these things. Krishna forced me. And he came in the form of this cancer. Can you imagine somebody thanking Krishna for your cancer? Like that. Her husband finished the article. It was written originally for the Marathi edition of Back to Godhead magazine. And it was so nice, because she's a Marathi girl. He's a Marathi man, but they would translate it into English. It was so good. I thank Krishna. He came in the form of my cancer. I would, to take away all of my attachments, I would have never surrendered otherwise. Pretty cool stuff. So, whether anything happens to a devotee, nothing happens to a devotee unless it is the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, somehow. So a devotee takes obstacles and turns it into opportunities to think of Krishna, to surrender to Krishna, to chant Krishna's glories, to chant the glories of Tulsi Rani, like that. It's an opportunity. My situation is an opportunity to cry out, Dake. When Vamsidas Babaji was asked in the 1940s, how does one get prema? He said, Dake. It's one Bengali word for call out, beg. The more we beg, the more they become soft-hearted and they give. Now, in Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 9, Verse 11, the best translation is quoted in Adi Leela, Chapter 3, Verse 111. Best translation of that. It's an exact, but Prabhupada translated it differently than they did in the Bhagavatam, and it's better. The purport in 3.9.11 is better than the Chaitanya Charitamrita. How can you say that? Just look at it. It's actually the fact. Now, one of the Sanskrit teachers, he lived in a little flat in Vrindavan. He was renting something and looking around for something else. Australian boy. And his parents bought him a 10 lakh flat in Vrindavan where he lives now. Probably living in the summer there. And with his good wife and their daughter, and like that. So I came to his house to eat some snacks once, and he told me that this commentary is very funny. How is that? Between Bhavartha Deepika Sridhar Swami's commentary and Vishwanath's commentary, there are three things that you can extract that are significant. What is it? Krishna's first... Because the Sanskrit says, tat tat vibhu pranayase sadanugrahaya. Whatever the devotee is thinking about, he manifests that form out of his causeless mercy. So what is that rupa? What is that form that Krishna is going to take? He mentions three things. First thing is, the first line is Krishna comes in the form of Shastra Pramana, whatever the devotee has been reading. And when you're in trouble, those same shlokas are going to come to protect you. You can be casual about your reading and memorization, but when you're in trouble, you're going to remember those same things. That's the first line of protection. Krishna comes in the same with those very same Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam shlokas, Chaitanya Charitamrita, whatever blows your mind. Ah, this is great. Ooh, I want that. You know, necessity is the mother of invention. You learn. You need it. You learn it. You need it. You learn it. That's real. Okay? Krishna comes in the first line of defense in that very same Shastra Pramanam. This is how the devotee feels Krishna's protection. Neophyte devotees, brand new devotees. Krishna comes, the first line is this Pramanam. Second line is that you have a rupa, you have your Ishtadeva. You know, like Gornatai Pujaris, they're just only Gornatai, and they just don't think of anything else. And they've surrendered their mind to Gornatai, they chant Gornatai's glories. If you're dressing Radha Gopinath, then sing their glories, nah? So many bhajans and so many stutis, stavas and prayers and astakams and just go nuts. They are not different from those glories. If you're worshipping Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, I happen to have a couple of neat shlokas, which I can give from Skanda Puranam. Four shlokas for Jagannath, two shlokas for Subhadra, two shlokas for Baladev, two shlokas for Sudarshan Chakra. Good for Rathiatra, huh, gang? Yeah, cram them in the brain, you know? From Skanda Purana. And the Pujaris especially. Because after the Rathiatra is over, right? Things go back to routine. But for the Pujaris, it is no routine. These are our lords. We love them. They are ours, you know? We are theirs. So, to make that your life is more theirs, you hear and chant their glories. You memorize their glories. And they'll help you. You want it? Take it. Matakshmati Gyanam Apohanam Cha. He's the source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So that's the main thing. Sing their glories. Those glories are not different from them. They purify you. And sometimes we get inference in the heart. When your deity comes in your heart and shakes your world, you better listen. You know, when they shake your world, they come in the heart, they give inference. Because they want to be efficient. They're using the same thing as Paramatma to come and shake your world. Now, when you get something in the heart, what do you do? Well, you have to cross, check and balance it with Shastra Pramanam. If you can find other Shastra Pramanam somewhere else to match that inference in the heart, then you know it's true. See, first thing you go is Shastra Pramanam. That's number one. Sometimes if you don't know it, Krishna will tell you where it is. Like in Gayatri Mantarta Deepika, Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad mentioned how Sriji came in his heart and told him exactly where to find the knowledge to solve his problem. Her business was to order her servant that give up your lamentation and your fasting now, she said, 11 p.m. In the morning you can see that pramanam. She told him where the pramanam is to be found. And where you'll find it in the exact name of the book and where it is. Now, give up your lamentation and your fasting. Now, she ordered. 11 p.m., far out. So it's the same thing. You know, and a lot of the stuff that I got as a 17-year-old kid serving her. When you serve somebody, you break your rear for somebody. You actually really work hard for somebody. Then all of a sudden, when you're serving somebody, their sweetness and their nature starts to become manifest to you. We didn't know much. Stupid kid. You know, we didn't know nothing. You know, whatever our Gurudev said was fine for us. We didn't know any Sanskrit. We didn't know any glories. She was compassionate. She would show her sweetness anyway. Do I have proof? Now I'm getting the proof in Sanskrit. What I saw in 74 and 78... In 80, I'm starting to get the proof now in my hands, in Sanskrit. But my understanding of it was, you know Sanskrit, you don't know Sanskrit. If she wants to give mercy, it's not going to stop her. It doesn't stop her at all. Your knowledge, your ignorance doesn't stop her at all. What I don't have now is, what is her plan to steal the hearts of the stubborn people? People that are just, Gauranga, he took sannyas and her business was to try to steal the hearts of, capture the conditioned souls that are just not willing to be liberated. They want to stay here in the material world. So Gauranga did this or that to try to capture. She does it. She's even better, Hari Bhakti Vilas says, than Lakshmi Devi. She's a friend of Lakshmi Devi, but she's more influential, and she does her work a lot more substantially. But what I want to find out from the Pramanams, from Shastra, is how does she steal conditioned souls that are determined to be conditioned? How does she do that? What is her strategy? I need to find that out, you know. Their compassion is there. How do they invoke that compassion in different ways? That I want to find out. Then, tad tad vibhu pranayase sadanugrahaya, your ishtadeva, your worshipable Lord, they'll come in your heart and they'll shake your world. Because they want to be efficient. Paramatma wants to be efficient, so he's going to come in the agent that will shake your world. You'll believe it. When it comes in your heart, you're not going to deny that at all. I got to do that. That's big. Now, is it correct or not? Because, you know, we read the scriptures both day and night. You read black, whereas I read white. You know, so there's always room for interpretation. You got any proof of that? You know, you may be assured that, yeah, it's the right thing to do. Now, how are you going to convince everybody else? You need pramanams for everybody else. You need arguments to convince everybody else of that. Otherwise, they ain't going to believe you. You know. So that's why a devotee cross-references it. First line of attack is Shastra Pramanam. We want Shastra, if you read something somewhere. Now, the next line is Guru Pramanam and Sada Pramanam, because they're support, they're pillars that uphold the Shastra Pramanam. So, okay, you know, blind uncle is better than no uncle at all. If you don't got Shastra Pramanam, then at least did Guru Maharaj say something about it? Or did the sadhu say something about it? It's like that. That gives you an idea of that. The third thing Matsyavatar told me, which was cool, was that Krishna in your heart knows exactly what relationship with him you cherish. And he strives to help you attain what you want. That's the most charming of all three. We're stuck here in our conditioned life, but Krishna knows exactly what you want. My realization about her was that she does exactly the same thing. It's mentioned in Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, chapter 2, verse 18 through 22. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama loba dayas chaye chete etarana vriddham stitam sattve prasidyati. One goes from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion to the mode of goodness. Then in the mode of goodness, he becomes happy. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogata bhagavat tattva vijnana mukta sangha sajayate. When the mind is pleased by devotional service, satisfied by devotional service, engaged in the devotional process, then bhagavat tattva vijnana, you're going to understand the truth of Krishna's, you get realization of the truth, and mukta sangha sajayate, you go on the path of liberation. And vidyante hridaya granthis chidyante sarva sangshaya, all the knots in the heart become broken by this. You're convinced. Go straight. Don't turn left. Don't turn right. Just move. Just go forward. So it's the same thing. We have to go forward in our service. But what I really like about it is that whatever you want, irregardless of what service you do, whatever your nature is, irregardless of that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, our business is to think of Krishna and chant Krishna's glories at the same time while we work. Then our work becomes paribhavita. And she'll help you. If you take shelter of her, she'll help you. She's been there, done that. She's seen so many persons and so many universes and like that, with so many desires and so many propensities, and she's helped them astoundingly, you know. So she's seen that our problems are, our needs are not unique. She can help you with it. It's not a problem for her. You just love her and serve her. Then whatever her servant needs, she will provide it. She actually does it. Now I'm getting the Sanskrit to prove it, but actually she does it without a difficulty at all. When I was reading this Tulsi Kavacham, and Skanda is ordered by his father to chant this for a mandalam, 40 days. Some kalpas are like 30 days. Mandalam is 40 days. The bottom line is stay steadfast. When you stay steadfast in your determination, she understands that. And at the end of the 30 days, 40 days, you get it. It actually happened to me as a kid when I was 17 years old. Blew my mind. I was 17 at the time. It actually happened. And that really gave me a shot in the arm. I knew she did it. I didn't need to get a certificate from anybody. In the heart, I knew she arranged it. Vishnu's wife is very well connected. She can pull any string she wants. And if she's satisfied, and if she says, Krishna, could you do this? Sure, Priyali, anything else? It's considered done. Be smart. And it's like I was talking about it, that, you know, you want to get a hold of somebody, you write their mobile number down. But in the evening, they just want their space, you know, they want to go home and chill out, you know, and like that. But the wife doesn't turn the mobile off too much. So you call her mobile. Hey, I'm looking for your husband. Where in the hell is the guy? Hey, XYZ is looking for you. Is that okay? Here he is. Be smart. You want to get your foot in the door? You want to get to Krishna faster than anybody? Go to his wife. Be smart. That's just the way it is in bhakti. And it doesn't matter what your service is. Bhakti Chaitanya Karani, the cause of devotional mood. Sarva Sobhagyavardhani. Anybody's good fortune is expanded, is increased, you know, by her. She does it all. Better than anybody I've ever seen. And I got the Sanskrit now to prove it. And you know what? It is just the beginning. It's just like the tip of the iceberg. Whatever I got now is nothing compared to what I'm going to get later. it's all going to snowball. You know, all the arguments I get later are just probably going to reinforce the arguments more. If you got one argument, yeah, that's cool for you. But it's probably not going to turn people's minds. Why? Because old habits die hard, you know? One devotee in Sydney, Australia was laughing and said, if you're not going to change your habits, you will die before your habits do. You know, if you have two pramanams, yeah, that's cool, nah, that's more interesting. But, you know, the vanity wears away after a few days. You know, basically you return to your rigmarole, you know? If you see three, wait a minute, am I missing something? And if you see four, this is it. Stop thinking and start working. You know? Basically, when you see four Sanskrit pramanams, this is the end of the argument. I'm sorry. So when I saw this, you know, from that Tulsi Kavacham, when Shiva tells Skanda, Kimartam Bahunoktena, what is the use of talking further about this? I thought, end of story. Yeah, you got me convinced. Yeah. You know, learn this, chant this, don't hesitate, get moving, you know. As soon as I read that shloka, Kimartam Bahunoktena, what is the use of talking so much about this, benefit of this? Yeah. Of course, some Sanskrit pramanams, they do that. They scare the hell out of you. They're meant for that, to spur action by scaring you. Like, for example, you know, it's I've seen some heavy shlokas. Like in 12, in Hari Bhakti Vilas chapter 12, it says, to have sex with your mother is good. To kill Brahmins and eat the meat of cows is good, but not to eat an ekadasi. It's basically scare the hell out of you, you know? That's basically what it is. It's just like, some people may have a doubt. When you read that shloka, you go, I got no doubts further, I'm sorry, gang, you know? That's what it is. It's supposed to spur action, you know? You don't hesitate about this thing, you know? Then, of course, Sanatana Pad gives you a few more tidbits from other Puranas to throw it in, you know, to throw into the kitty, you know. But, you know, when you see that, but your mind goes, always gravitates to the heaviest one, you know. Wah! You know, your mind gravitates to the heaviest shloka, you know. There's another cool one. One devotee was asking me, well, what about Dwadasi? What's so good? I still haven't found out why Dwadasi is better than any other prohibited day. I need to find astrologically why Dwadasi is better. I haven't found it. You know, but we accept it, but why? It says, one of them Sanatana Pad gives is anybody who doesn't want to decrease their duration of life should not collect amla leaves on Sunday or tulsi leaves on Dwadasi in the month of Kartik. Now, everybody wants to live a long life and stay healthy. If you don't want to decrease your duration of life, don't do that. That's a good shock. Ah! You know, okay, yeah, thanks for the tip, you know. Dvadasham, and it's Dig Darshani Tikka. It's 7:354, the forbidden times to collect her. It says, Sankratya Dao Nasiddho Api, beginning with the first day of the lunar month. In the Tikka, Sanatana Pad says, Sankrantya Dao could mean Dwadashi, it means Purnima, it means Amavasya, Pratipat, Panchami, Chaturdashi. The smartest do that. He says, other people may do that. Dwadasham eva neshate, but we won't do it on Dwadasi. The question is, why is Dwadasi better than those other days? One pundit told me, I know Brahman, Vaishnavas and different panthas, they'll do it anyway. But then later on, you know, he changed his mind. I got to yak with him later on when I see him. That, hey, you told me like this and I understand it. But then, you know, it's like different opinions. He was saying, I know Vaishnavas that still do it anyway. When in doubt, do without. What's the big deal? I go, yeah, but in order to do that, you got to put a whole calendar next to Tulsi Rani. Oh, we better double chain. We better collect double today because tomorrow is one of those days, you know. But what does make Dwadasi better than these other days, you know, like that? Dwadasham eva neshate. Interesting stuff. So you get more, the more Sanskrit you know sometimes, the more questions you got. But the thing about it is, and I was telling that to my boy Dhameshwar, I said, whatever pramanam she gives us, it's going to raise more questions. When it raises more questions, you have to beg. You have to cry, and you have to beg. And if she's satisfied with the begging, then she'll drop it in your lap. It'll make your day. You know, one of these days, all of a sudden, your Brahmin friends or somebody hands you a pramanam. But I've been looking for this for ages. Thank you for this. You know, they made your day, you know. You know, they made your day. It's successful. And you just like dance and sing and laugh and, you know, like that all day long, you know. Krishna consciousness is like that. Your feet don't touch the ground. You're so happy. And who gives a darn about this stupid material body? Let it be thrown. You know, every one of us is an Ayaram, Gayaram, and Ayarani, Gayarani. Ram is coming, Ram is gone. And Rani is coming, Rani is gone. It's a question of time. Our material body will disintegrate. But our happiness should be there in Krishna consciousness. The more we absorb, the more we memorize, the more we love, the more we apply it, it's not what you're eating, it's what's getting in your veins. What are you applying? Abhyasanam. Application is real bhakti. What are you applying? You know, if you don't want to do something, you have no faith. If you don't want to do something, why? I don't have faith in it. If you have faith in it, then you do it. That's what it means. Action means you have faith. You're going to apply something. And nothing is going to get in the way. Obstacles are opportunities. Let's figure out how we're going to use the system to serve the Supreme Lord and His consort. And if it's an obstacle, I have to beg a little more. That's all. It's an opportunity. Obstacles are an opportunity. It's not nothing wrong with it. It just means we have to beg a little more. And if the Supreme Lord and His consort want it, it's done. Time will test you. That's all. Time is testing you. That's all. Your resolve. Your commitment. You're not getting it done today. You may get it done tomorrow. But it's going to test your commitment. That's all. Huh? It's a test of your commitment. And whenever you give any investment, time, energy, sweat of your brow, it is simply the external indication of your internal cultivation. That's all. Whatever we give Krishna or His consort is absolutely nothing compared to what they give us. Krishna is serving us 24/7 in the heart in exchange for our stupid service. Not even a joke compared to our previous acharyas. Not even a joke. When you think about the older generation of people, you know, 80, 90-year-old people, when they look upon their grandchildren, upon the world, how it's changed, how it's more expensive, how things are not substantial anymore, you know, the kids are lousy, they're trash, they're just not up to standard, you know, like that, no matter what you do for them, then they leave their body happily, throw it, you know. We're happy to get out. Some people they're educators. They want to change people, right? And if they're getting somewhere, then they feel good about that, right? One guy, he left his body this year. He was a physical education fellow. And he died at 96 in his sleep. At the age of 95, a journalist asked him, "Well, what are you thinking about death?" "Bad for my profile." He goes, "I'm not thinking about death. Death is bad for my profile. I don't like that." No. And they keep on exercising, keep on working, keep on educating, keep on trying to change people's minds and hearts and stuff. And if they're happy with that, these people live. One thing for increasing your duration of life is to be santushta, to be satisfied. To be satisfied, you have to become antarmukh, internally facing. If you're depressed too much at what's going on, you have to internalize. That's all. It's Krishna showing me the naked truth of what I should not become, and Krishna showing me what I should become. I should become internal. Absorb more internally. Yavantar sukon taralamas. This is the third chapter, verse 17. Tatantara jyotirevaya. The person is illuminated within. So yogi brahmanirvanam. Such a person attains spiritual consciousness. Brahmanirvanam is also translated as spiritual liberation. Brahmabhutam adigacchati. And he attained the Brahmabhuta stage. Now, Brahmabhuta stage, that's 18th chapter, verse 51 through 53. People like to banter the 54th shloka. Brahmabhuta prasannatmana sochitina kankshati. Everybody likes to throw that around like it's so easy to get. But they're not going to quote 51 through 53, how you get there. They ain't going to quote that. Because that means 51 through 53 means you got to get off your duffer and you got to work. And you got to get that, you know. Yeah, you got to get off your rear and you got to get to work. You know, that's what it means. You got to try to develop those qualities. You got to try to beg for those qualities. And you got to hang out with those that got those qualities. That's what it means. And dake, you have to beg. You beg to Krishna. Beg. So begging never quits. You know, Jagannath Rath Yatra is fun, nah? It's coming up. And I got those shlokas to pass out. The pujaris are going to learn them shlokas. If you love those deities, after the Rath Yatra is over, it's our Jagannath, our Balaram, our Subhadra. They're ours. We belong to them. you know, and we're going to be with him. And we're going to memorize their glories and sing their glories. When you sing it, actually the fun is actually when you sing it. Oh, your feet don't touch the ground. Oh, it's so happy. I'll never forget it. Now this tape, you won't find it in the archives. It's gone. Okay? There was a life member from Chicago, came to see Prabhupada in a room conversation in 1975 in Dallas. Yeah, I went to your temple in Chicago, and they gave me too much prasadam. Prabhupada goes, really? Gauranga's philosophy is akanta bhujan kori, eat up to the neck. Prabhupada knew what the Indians in North America were doing. Man, they were eating anything and everything. I had a friend of mine. He was Premchand from Kulu, Himachal Pradesh, and he was in charge of all the greenhouses in St. Louis at the time, called the Flower Box in Garden in Forest Park, big park, downtown St. Louis. Okay, must be about a mile or two from the temple. And he used to come every day to the restaurant and eat prasadam, and he would come and see Gornatai. And nobody, I was a Bujari then, nobody came to see Gornatai. So I'd come to him with Mahaprasadam. Lilo Premchand takes a Mahaprasadam. I'd bring it. And he had his two kids with him, you know, legalized burglars. And there must have been kneecap high, something like that. And he would say, na, jadama dena torta dena hatse. Don't give me too much, just give me a little bit in the hand. And his children were pulling on his trousers. He said, B to G, Jello McDonald's. Because three doors from our temple was the Golden Arches. B to G, let's go to McDonald's. And then I knew enough Hindi even then as a kid. And I said, Premchand, your children are exposing you. And he blushed red. Oh, he blushed red. You know, as red as that, you know, red. Oh, he blushed red, you know. It was funny. So when I saw that, I realized what Prabhupada was saying. Gauranga's philosophy is akanta bhujan kori. If you eat in our restaurant up to the neck, then your mind is not going to be attracted to go to the McDonald's and buy some stupid French fries that have meat flavor on it, or, you know, like that on it, you know, like that. Contaminated in a contaminated spot, you know. But people that don't wash their hands between the meat and between the stuff like that. You don't have to, but Prabhupada knew what they were doing. And the next thing he said, which had direct bearing on me, was, and I attended the arti for the deities, and the Pujari played a tape. Really? Prabhupada said. If there was no one to sing the arti, the Pujari should have sung. And I like dropped my jaw. Hey, wait a minute, Jack. That's your job. Guru Maharaj is talking about your job. Wait a minute. That's your service. To serve the deities. That's your job. So from that tape, I started. I started to memorize bhajans about the deities you're serving and just sing. Just sing day and night. And I must have learned about 200 bhajans at the time. You know, there were morning melody bhajans up to 9 o'clock. Everything. Up to 9 o'clock is sung in Prabhati. And before I was waking the deities at 4 in the morning, I would sing different Prabhati bhajans, you know, waking the deities in the morning, you know, like that. Cleaning their trays. Feet don't touch the ground. When I was serving Tulsi Rani, I had like, 20, 30 Tulsi trees, you know, with gore lamps and like that. And I would go in there and I would serve her, spray her off, collect manjaris or something like that, serve her, sing her glories. Whatever I knew, I'd just sing her glories. Oh, feet didn't touch the ground. Had to be the most lovable four years of my life, from 1978 to 82. The more you sing, the more you're happy. The miseries just go away. You know? And the glories of the Lord, the miseries just go away. So-called head Pujari. You were the only Pujari, man. That was a rubber stamp. You do everything, man. Bathe them morning and evening. Dress them morning and evening. Bathe them. You make all the vases, you know. I had a gopher. I had one guy. Go for this and go for that, you know. He was my marketer, you know. I'd call up the go to the thing. Go collect this, go for that. He's my gopher. Go for this, go for that, you know. Gopher. He's a gopher. Go for this and go for that, you know. And he would bring my stuff for me. But you do everything. You make the vases, you do everything. You do all the arties, everything. And I would sing to the deities. Oh, and it was so much fun, you know. And you just love the deities, and the deities will love you back. And that's the bottom line. Amitu tumar tumito amar kiga jayaparidhan. This is a shloka from Saranagati Admanivedan section, section number 8, bhajan number 8. Probably about 5 or 6. I belong to you and you belong to me. Now, the line, the shloka is pretty cool. Tamara se bhai dukkho hoye jato, miseries in your service will be the greatest. Se to paramasukha will be the greatest happiness for me. Whether I suffer or enjoy, both destroy the ignorance of illusion. Both destroy the ignorance of illusion. I belong to you. In 6 he says, I belong to you, you belong to me. Is there any other wealth in this world? There is no other wealth. Doesn't matter what service you do in the temple, sing their glories. Your work will be lighter. Your work will be easier. Your work will be happier. And they will those glories will destroy the miseries of material existence. The miseries of your scrappers, the miseries of your life, the miseries of your maintenance, the miseries of your job, the miseries of whatever will become destroyed by the glories of Krishna. It's our business. Learn something, sing it, and then, like one devotee, I saw him in South Africa, always smiling. And I give him a hug. Why are you smiling? You know, if anybody's got any reason to be miserable, it's you. But you're smiling. This means you must be very, very enthusiastic devotee. And your wife is always smiling and content. Must be amazing, you know. Like that. If the child is good, the parents are shinier. If the child is good, the parents are shinier. Ooh, that kid is neat. Who is the parents? You know, that's the idea. The parents must be shinier. That's the point. You know? All right. Hare Krishna. Bhagavatam. Hare Bhagavatam.